like to start by reading in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 1. In my Bible, it's page 1265. John chapter 1. And starting from verse 10. He, that is Jesus, was in the world, and the world had its being through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name, who have been born not of blood, nor of flesh's will, nor of man's will, but of God. I'd like to speak tonight about who the Lord Jesus is. And I'm very conscious that when my brother prays, he's very clear, you know, to say, Lord Jesus. And sometimes when you hear him, and I hope he wouldn't mind me saying, he's very clear to make the distinction between these words, Lord Jesus. And I want to explain a little bit as to what the word Lord means, because I think it's really important, particularly how it relates to the gospel. Because Lord Jesus means something. The name Jesus means something, of course, because it speaks of the one who came onto this world. He was born, and it speaks here a little bit of who Jesus is. It speaks about how Jesus came into the world. It says, the true light, that which coming into the world, lightens every man, it says in the verse earlier. But I want to speak about Jesus, and that's what the gospel is. It's all about Jesus. And the gospel according to John, particularly chapter 1, speaks exactly about who Jesus is. And it says, he was in the world, and the world had its being through him. And that means, you know, that Jesus is the creator of the world. It means that Jesus is the Son of God. It means that's who Jesus is. And then it says, and the world knew him not. And then it says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But then it finishes with, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God, to those that believe on his name, who have been born not of blood, nor of flesh's will, nor of man's will, but of God. And you know, that speaks of something really precious, dear friend, because when you speak of believing on the name of Jesus, that truly means something, because it means there's a blessing for you, that you're born. You're born again, and you have a new life and a new hope. And that's because you have accepted Jesus in your heart. And that's a wonderful thing, dear friend, to know who Jesus is, not just as the one who created the world, not just as the one who has come into the world, but the one who has died for you. And do you know Jesus is the one who has died for you, dear friend? Because that's really important when it comes to the gospel. And then you might say, well, why do I need someone to die for me? And that's important, because Jesus came into this world and he showed his love to everyone that came to him. And he showed the love of God. What a wonderful thing that is. But not only that, Jesus came into this world to die and to give his life for you and for me. And I want to speak about that because the name of Jesus is one that should bring you joy to your heart, and it should give you peace as well. But the second part of this is the word Lord. Because Lord Jesus, Lord is a title. And as most titles, it means something. Usually, when we talk about titles, it refers to your relationship. I'll give you an example. For example, for some people here in this room, I'm Uncle David. That's a wonderful thing, and it's a precious title, because it means I'm related. It also means that there are other titles that I have. I'm brother-in-law. I'm also a brother to other people as well. What a wonderful title these things are, and they mean something. But the word Lord specifically means something, and it means your relationship to God, and it means your relationship to Jesus himself. And I want to say that because Lord means that something is above you, is over you, and that you obey. If someone is my Lord, I look to them for everything. If I know that something is above me, I look to them. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that you've come under the precious blood of Jesus and you've come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that he is one who loves you and has given everything to secure your soul for him in dying for you, in shedding his precious blood for you, that you can say Lord Jesus in your heart and know that he is the one who loves you and has died for you but is over you now. That's a really, really important thought. And so I'd like to read another scripture. And this time I'd like to read in the Gospel of John again, but this time in chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. It's page 1299 in my Bible. Gospel of John, chapter 20, and starting from verse 19. When, therefore, it was evening on that day, which was the first day of the week, and the doors shut where the disciples were through fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and says to them, "Peace be to you." And having said this, he showed to them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced, therefore, having seen the Lord. Jesus said, therefore, again to them, "Peace be to you. As the Father sent me forth, I also send you." And having said this, he breathed into them and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted to them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he says to Thomas, "Bring thy finger here and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put them into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says to him, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed." Many other signs therefore also Jesus did before his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. This speaks, you know, of a time when the disciples thought that Jesus had died. And this is what happened, you know, that Jesus went on the cross and he was put to death. And many people saw him die and many people saw him on the cross. And then he was put into a tomb. And then the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. And this is a moment, you know, when people see the Lord Jesus. And he just appears to them. The doors were shut. They were afraid. And Jesus appears in the midst. "Peace be to you." But someone was missing. It says about Thomas. And Thomas said, "Because I haven't seen the Lord Jesus. Unless I see him, unless I see that he's died, I won't believe." And maybe you're like Thomas. Maybe there's a part of you that thinks, I need to see something. I need to know something before I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus. Well, dear friend, this is what you need to see. You need to see the Lord is the one who is out of death. And you need to ask for the Lord to put your faith and trust in him. You need to ask for help for this. But here you see that Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And you know, Jesus, what a wonderful thing it is that Jesus appears again. He appears again to Thomas, not just to Thomas, but to the rest, and says, "Thomas, I know what's in your heart." And the Lord Jesus knows what's in your heart, and he knows the difficulties, and he knows all of the awfulnesses and difficulties that you might face, but it's still he loves you, and still he will appear to you. And if this is ringing true in your hearts, know that if you have a need of a Savior, Jesus is available tonight. He's available and he wants you for himself. And he's died for you as he's died for me. And he loves you. But here it says, Thomas then sees the Lord. He says, "My Lord and my God." What a wonderful thing, you know, to say to the Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." To know that the Lord Jesus is the one for yourself, to know that he's the one who has gone into death and is alive to die no more. Do you know that the Jesus is alive? Do you know that he has gone into death? Do you know that he shed his precious blood for you? But do you know that he's gone into death, but he's alive now? Because you can speak to the Lord Jesus. You can pray to him, you can talk to him, and you can put your faith and trust in him. And that's what it says here. Be not unbelieving, but believing. And then it says, "Blessed they who have not seen and have believed." You know, you don't have to see physically the Lord Jesus. the Lord will reveal himself to you. And what a thing it is to read the scriptures and to see the Lord Jesus and to know him and to know the one who has loved you more than anything else in this world. And what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord Jesus is over me, is the one who has done everything for me, who loves me more than anyone else or anything else could love me. And to know that he is the one who has my best interests at heart, fully. No selfishness whatsoever, that the Lord knows what's best for me. Not what I know, but what the Lord knows. Because the Lord has my soul in his hands. What a wonderful, safe place it is to know that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that is such a safe and certain and secure place. We look around the world, you know, and you see so much insecurity, so much worry, so much anxiety about the future. And yet the Lord Jesus is the only one who has secured the future, has secured your hearts. If you put your faith and trust in him, that your security, your future can be with him in paradise. What a wonderful faith, what a wonderful security the believer has. What a wonderful thing it is to know that your future is safe and secure with the Lord Jesus. And that's what I wanted to speak of. It says here, many other signs therefore also Jesus did, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. You know, that's the life in the gospel, is the name of Jesus and what he has done. Do you have this life in your soul? Do you have the life of knowing that there is a wonderful Savior God who loves you, has done everything that you might be safe, has done everything that your heart can be secure with him, has done everything that when you feel like there's no other hope, there's nothing else left in this world, but there is hope in Jesus. What a wonderful, secure hope that is. And I want to help you, dear friend, that when it comes to the thought of lordship, that means he's over my heart. Not only has he died for me, but he is over me. That I should look to him at times of trouble and in times of good. That I can look to him for help and for guidance and for comfort in times of distress. What a wonderful Lord we have in the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful help we have in difficult times. And one who we can go to when things are both bad and good. What a wonderful Savior we have. And then finally, I'd like to read one last passage, and that's in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, page 1230 in my Bible. Luke chapter 6, and starting from verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. But a great rain coming, the stream broke upon that house and could not shake it, for it had been founded on the rock. And he that has heard and not done is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation, on which the stream broke and immediately it fell, and the breach of that house was great. Finally, I'd like a word as to obedience. Because when we speak of the Lord Jesus, we speak of the need of obedience to the one who is over us. We speak of the need of obedience and to obey the one who has given us such wonderful love, but he demands of us something and he means that you should obey him. And then it says, everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them. You know, you can come to Jesus now. You can come to him now and you can put your faith and trust in him now. And that's a real blessing. But you've also got to do the words of Jesus. You've got to obey the words of Jesus. You've got to know that if there is someone over you who loves you, has done everything for you, has given his life for you, and wants the best things for you, that you must obey him. Obey the words of Jesus. And you know, this is not a difficult thing to obey. It's difficult, you know, when you hear things you don't want to do. But if you were to know that the person who gives you these things to do loves you, and cherishes you and cares for you and has shown all of this in his death for you, you should not find these words difficult. You should know that being obedient to the Lord Jesus is a wonderful thing because it gives you safety in your heart to know what you're doing is right. And here it speaks a bit of what that means. It says, Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. And it speaks of he's like a man who built a house and dug and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And this is what I want to speak to you about, dear friend, is when you have such a one as the Lord Jesus, and when you build and put your faith and trust in him, not in the world and not in the things around it, not in your own strength, not in the things that you can see around us, but you put your faith and trust in the one Lord Jesus. And when you put your faith and trust and put everything with Lord Jesus, you are building on a sure and certain foundation, and one that can weather many storms. And I speak of that knowing some experience that it's very easy, you know, to get washed around and to find that difficulties and troubles and anxieties can mess you around. But to know that if your faith and your heart is with Jesus, that there is a sure and certain place. To know that there is one who loves you, has done everything for you, to be obedient to the word of God. What a wonderful thing to know that if you're obedient to God, there is a wonderful safety for your soul. Not just for eternity, but now. To know that now, when difficulties come, you can turn to the Lord Jesus and talk to him and speak to him about your worries, about your distress, and know that there is an answer because he loves you as he loves me. Put your faith and trust in the one who loves you for his name's sake.